I believe that 2024 is going to be an incredible year. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the news says. 2024 for this church is going to be an incredible year. I believe that there's going to be an outpouring of the Lord like we've never seen before, and it has to do with our lesson today in tithes and offering. And we've been talking about how God made a way in a manger. He takes inability and it becomes ability. He takes the impossible and it becomes possible. He takes the ordinary and it becomes extraordinary. When you're following, you become a follower. But today, I think, is the most important. When you're faithful, your faith full, it becomes fulfilled. Amen. So many times we just think our faithfulness is in vain. I'm here to tell you today, your faithfulness is not in vain. It doesn't matter what you've been seeing and what you've been looking at in the natural. It may seem like, excuse me, it's been forever, but it hasn't been forever. Amen. We have to fight the good fight of faith. If we won't grow weary, what will happen? We will reap the reward. And the last part of the story of Jesus is a story that often gets overlooked, but it's the story of Simeon and Anna. And these were two faithful people. They had served in the temple for many years, and Simeon had been promised that he would not die before he saw the salvation of the Lord. And Anna served the Lord faithfully in the temple as well. She was widowed at a young age, and I think it was like over 50 years she served the Lord in the temple. Has anyone waited 50 years for something to happen? It doesn't say how long Simeon waited, but we know he waited a long time. But as soon as he saw Jesus, something inside him leapt. Why? Because he saw the fulfillment of what he had been promised. He said, I can go home now, Lord, because I have seen your faithfulness fulfilled. And when we stay faithful in our tithes and our offering, when we stay faithful in our giving, we will see what we have been believing for fulfilled. Now, our timelines are not God's timelines. Amen? And how many times do we know that that is sometimes can be discouraging? But I'm here to tell you today, don't be discouraged about 2024. God is about to fulfill some things that we have been faithful for. Amen? And just like Simeon and Anna saw that reward, saw that blessing, saw that promise fulfilled, I believe we are going to see the fulfillment of the things we have been believing for in 2024. So instead of going in, oh Lord, what's the future going to hold? No, it doesn't matter what the future holds, because we know who holds the future. So we don't have to hope and maybe it'll happen. No, we can trust and rest in the Lord that he's got 2024 in his hands. Amen? I'm believing that the things that we have been looking for and anticipating, maybe jobs, maybe there's breakthroughs in your finances, breakthroughs in your family, healings that you've been looking for. Why not 2024? Amen? Amen? Because God has a plan and we're part of that plan. And it will happen if we stay faithful. Faithful. We've got to stay faithful. Full of faith so that what we've been believing for will be fulfilled. What does that mean? It's full already and then it's filled some more. Think about that word. God's not just going to bless us, because the word says that he wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. I'm believing 2024, we're going to be so blessed that we're going to be able to give more as individuals. We're going to be able to give more as a church. It's going to be the greatest year of giving in Redeem Church history. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And it's not going to be because you all are poor, because you're giving so much. No, it's going to be the overflow of the blessing in our lives. Amen? So let's continue to be faithful, and like Simeon and Anna, we will see the fulfillment of those things we've been believing for. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today. I thank you, Lord, that you did make a way in the manger. Father, you made a way for us to be close to you. You made a way, Father, for impossible things to become possible. You made a way for us to be blessed, to be a blessing. You made a way for us, Father, even in being faithful to you, you made a way for us to be able to be helped to be faithful. You helped us, Father, and you are helping us still to stay faithful to you. You're so amazing. You don't just dump us on this earth and leave us and hope we can make it. No, you walk with us each step of the way. And as we go into 2024, I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be the greatest year that we have ever experienced in you. Your outpouring of your Holy Spirit is going to be so powerful. We're going to have wisdom that we've never had before. There's going to be such favor upon us, Lord, that people are going to see us at our jobs and they're going to say, wait a minute, you, we want you. And we're going to see people elevated in positions. We're going to see people's finances blessed. Those who have been on a fixed income, it's no longer going to be fixed anymore because God's going to fix it so there's exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. It doesn't matter the ways that God brings it. It's going to come into our hands so that we can continue to give to every good work. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the breakthroughs in this year, financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, Father, in every way, in us and in our families and in our communities, Father, we just thank you for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Bless every seed that's sown today, Father, 100-fold harvest. Angels, go forth and bring in the harvest in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, let's pray over this message. I'm not going to keep you long today. It's a holiday, and I know we're all planning on staying up till at least 9:30, right? And there's probably still some cookies somewhere, and, you know, oh, man, don't get me started on that. At this point, I'm usually kind of, okay, enough already. Well, maybe not quite enough, but almost enough. Right? Amen. So we just want to give you time with your families and all of that. So, but I do want to share some things that the Lord put on my heart for this morning. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We thank you, God, for the awesome things that you've done this year and the awesome things you're going to do next year. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I wanted to share something with you that I put in my notes page. I had a nightmare the other day about my notes page. Like, I was supposed to speak on some vision conference or something somewhere, and Andrew Womack had somebody there, like from his church, and they were supposed to speak after me about vision, and she was right in the front row, and I was late, and I was supposed to speak first. And everything that I had was in my note, and my notes were all scattered, and it was a nightmare. So, but next week, we're going to be talking about vision, amen, and sharing some prophetic words for the year from prophetic ministries that I really admire and look up to. But I just want to give you a little taste of what God has put on my heart for our church and ministry going forward into the new year. And the scripture that the Lord gave me for us, and we'll, you know, the Lord always builds on this throughout the year, right? And we'll share more next week. But the word God gave me for this year for us is Psalm 94, verse 22. But the Lord has been my defense. And my God, the rock of my refuge. So kind of our slogan for 2024 is going to be, the Lord is my defense. Somebody say, the Lord is my defense. Amen. And, you know, it got me thinking. I like the NBA, watching basketball. I like sports in general. But football, I'm kind of getting to the hopeless stage a little bit for the team I like. But but I do enjoy the NBA, too. The boys and I actually went to a Blazer game this past year. I haven't been to a Blazer game in years. But it was a cool experience. You know, I mean, there's things there that you're like, oh, as a Christian, I can't embrace that. You know, the word is directly opposed to what they're pushing in this area. But, you know, as Christians, we don't hide from the world. It's like you go out and be among them. But we just experienced the favor of God all night. We went to the game, and they were playing the Spurs. And the Spurs had, like, I think, 4 wins so far. And the Blazers had 8 wins so far this year. So they're both young teams developing and all this kind of thing. And I discovered that the Blazers love to share the ball with everybody. And by the end of the first quarter, it was like, what, 38-8 or something? But they got within 10. It was entertaining, right? It's these young guys out there running and gunning. And the Spurs have this kid that's like 19, and he's like this tall. I can't even probably reach how tall he is. And he was, I mean, dominating out there. He's going to be a game changer, right? But part of the problem was a lack of defense, right? And a lot more of the league now is about, let's see how high we can get the score, right? 138, 160, whatever, right? And the art of defense has been lost, you know, in a lot of things. But let me read to you something about, you know, I mean, a lot of people like or don't like Tom Brady. You know, how many championships? 7, I think, Super Bowls. Well, here's a guy who won 11 NBA championships. 11. He was in the league 13 years. 11 championships, right? In 13 seasons, Bill Russell won 11 NBA championships. For good measure, he might have won 12, but an ankle injury sidelined him in 1958 in the finals. It is a truly staggering rate of success, one that no other NBA player has come close to approaching. Really, no other professional player. One of my favorite athletes of all time is Michael Jordan. And the whole, is it LeBron or Michael? No competition to me, right? All due respect to LeBron, but MJ, right? But this man was before my time, and there was no social media and ESPN and all that, but my goodness, the record stands. No one has, I mean, you don't even have 11 fingers. He doesn't have enough fingers for the rings, right? But listen to this. Listen to what Bill Russell said, the prophet Bill Russell. We'll call him, right? He said the idea, and I remember he was a center, big shot blocker, and 11 rings, right? He said the idea is not to block every shot. The idea is to make your opponent believe that you might block every shot. Now, does that sound like to anybody else the USA we used to know? The idea is not to rid the world of every bad guy. It's to make every bad guy think we could. Somebody say, the Lord is my defense. Right? To be continued on that. But that's where we're going. There might be a few other NBA quotes you'll hear through the month of January that I got into it. Hallelujah. But today I want to focus on continuing this idea of New Year's Eve and heading into a new year, the idea of newness. The old things are gone. The new has come. Amen. And that word Eve, one definition for Eve is the period preceding or leading up to any event, the evening or day before a holiday, church festival, or any date or event. Isn't it awesome to know that someday it's going to be Rapture Eve? And we don't even know it, right? I mean, we know the season. We see the signs. But Jesus could come back tonight at 12:01. Hallelujah. I'm going to be looking for something to lighten my front in my street later today. I was watching the weather reports because it's been so windy, you know. It's like, should I get something or not, you know? I want it blowing around out there. Last year we found this thing called the gingerbread man. Oh man, he puts on a show out there. But how many know Jesus, when he returns, it is going to put the world on edge. And the world is already on edge. Really on the edge of destruction by following the course of the world, right? And the church of Jesus Christ, we got to be shining for God, keep the light burning. The whole idea of the anointing oil is to keep burning for Jesus, keep shining for him, no matter what the devil conjures up or what situations or circumstances, what they conjure up. Somebody say, keep burning for Jesus. Amen. How about let's shine for him like there is no tomorrow. Let's live in the now. Why is everything always got to be tomorrow? Well, I'll do that tomorrow. Well, I'll start that tomorrow. How about if we live for him today, like there is no tomorrow? Amen. Live for him today like all the marbles are right now. Amen. Glory to God. Leave the past behind. Amen. The word new year's, right? New means things like having but lately come or been brought into being of a kind now existing or appearing for the first time. 2024 is about to appear for the first time. And don't you know, Christmas is about Jesus is appearing for the first time. But it's not the last time. He came in as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came into Jerusalem on a donkey, man of peace, not war. He's coming back on a stallion with his family to set up shop on the planet, rule and reign. Hallelujah. So the question is for the church is, whose side are we going to be on? Even for the church, the global church, whose side are we going to be on? Are we going to put rainbows on the logo? Are we going to be silent for those who have no voice? Are we going to be silent for children and not speak up for what the devil is pouring out on children in the United States? And many parts of the church are being silent about it. There was one denomination I heard of recently that doesn't even want to use the term husband and wife anymore because it might offend someone. This is bizarre stuff, and it has no place in the body of Christ. No place. Doesn't mean we hate people, but we love God, and we love truth, and we love light, and we hate darkness, and we hate sin. And we hate things that kill people and send people to hell and destroy children. And we will not be silent about it. Hallelujah. So we're going to live today like there is no tomorrow. I remember when my baseball career was wrapping up and I started realizing, you know what? I love this game, but I should probably start approaching this game like it could be my last. Because God is leading me on to some other things. You know, I might be a husband, a father. Got no time to be out here playing third base on a Sunday afternoon. Amen, right? Glory to God forevermore. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If you want to turn somewhere in your Bible real quick, we're just going to pray here in a moment, but Romans 6, verses 4, 5, and 6 is what we'll look at together, but a couple other scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone, somebody say anyone, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somebody say, I'm trading in old things for all things. Hallelujah. Romans 6, verses 4 through 6. Got that here in the Bible. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Somebody say newness of life. Approach every day like, man, nothing else matters but right now. Hallelujah. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, somebody say the old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. It was funny, I haven't worn a suit in a while, and Randy made a comment about it. He said, well, who died? Why are you wearing a suit? And it made me think of this verse. My old man died. Somebody say the old man is dead. I'm alive to Christ. Amen. And that's a joyful funeral, right? Because he needed to go. And he's still going. Sometimes it's like Tales of the Crypt where his hand sticks out of the grave and it's like, get back down there, right? You've been crucified with Christ. Amen. A couple more verses before we pray. Ephesians 4:24 says this, and that you put on the new man. Somebody say, put on the new man. Hallelujah. Which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, some of the church in the world is trying to market the old man to the world so as to not offend the world. But they're offending them right to hell. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to answer for that. Because someone's going to answer for that. Why did you lie on my behalf to all these people? Yikes, man. Somebody say, not me. I'm putting on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness. There is nothing righteous about some of the things the world is pushing nowadays. And making it sound like there's no other way to think. If you don't think like this, you're a racist. If you don't think like this, you're a hater. If you don't think like this, you're a this or that. You're in the out. We're gonna persecute you and arrest you, take your business license from you, keep you from running in Colorado or Maine, call you an insurrectionist. Some of these people are the biggest insurrectionists in the history of our country, but they protect each other. And they're working. They don't realize it, but they've got Satan working with them. Somebody say, not me. I'm on God's side. I'm on God's side. And you're welcome to join me on God's side. In fact, I'm encouraged. That's why I'm in the world, to wave you on over. Because there's going to come a day where it'll be too late. Too late. Somebody might say, well, I'll think about that tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. Well, it might be uncomfortable if I come all the way over there. Oh, well, guess what? Jesus never said anything about it being, you know, a simple thing. Now, in our country, it's been relatively nice for a number of years, and only in recent history, because in large degree the church has let down in the past decades, and so now we have a mess. But don't you know our God is good at turning messes into miracles? And that's what I'm looking for in 24, going from a mess to miracles. The supernatural hand of God in our prayers, in our faith, in our decision to put off the old and put on the new will be the difference. Somebody say, I'll be the difference. I'll be the difference in my family. I'll be the difference in the office. I'll be the difference at school. I'll be the difference in the church. Hallelujah. Difference infers different. Right? The rainbow crowd ought not look at me, the church, and say, they're just like us. No, we're not. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Well, you're just a bunch of narrow-minded. Keith Moore says it this way. Yeah, we're narrow-minded and saved. And you can be too. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Colossians 3:10. We have put on the new man who is renewed. Somebody say renewed. In knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Renewed. The renewing knowledge of God comes from his word. Amen. Got to be people of the word. Got to be people that are committed to being in this word every day. Listening to it preached, hearing it taught, reading it and studying it for ourselves. So that when a counterfeit pops up, we know it. And we reject it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous year. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together and we're gonna pray. Got us out a little earlier than normal. Praise God forevermore. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord for his mighty power and presence in your life. Oh God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We commit our lives to you. Just take a minute and just make a fresh commitment to Jesus. Just say, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you, to follow you every day, to seek your face, to listen for your voice, to be a person that obeys you, does what you say. I yield my life to you completely, and I will follow you. One day at a time. I put off the old man and I put on the new man, created in Christ Jesus. We'll give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty things that you did in 23, and thank you for the awesome miracles that we're going to see in 24. We bind Satan and his efforts to steal, kill, and destroy anything from our lives, from our families, from the church, from our country, from the nation of Israel, from innocent people around the world. We stand in faith for them. And we declare, the Lord is my defense. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, love somebody, church, and just have a blessed New Year's Eve. Stay up till at least 9:30. God bless you. Amen.